Hey guys, welcome to part two of the seven-part series of layers using your seven creative principles for creative fulfillment. This is part two, where we get into the psychology of creativity, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We've got a lot of great content in store for you guys, and I definitely hope to learn more about you guys and hopefully get into some great content this time around. And hopefully you guys enjoy it, and let me know what you think. Subscribe, share, give it to your family and friends, and any business associates that you might think would find value in this piece of content. And let's go ahead and dive in. Part 2, The Pathology of Psychology. Our reality is based on the consciousness and the subconscious thoughts that we consistently hold on a daily basis. What we constantly think, everything around you, everything in front of you, is being framed subconsciously. It's being framed by your beliefs. It's being framed by your vision. It's being framed by your prejudices, and it's also being framed by your current state. Success in any endeavor is going to be 80% psychology and 20% mechanics. We have a tendency to make it backwards. We have a tendency to focus more on the outcome and the material aspect of it, the doing, and not enough on the psychological aspects of what will help sustain the outcomes that we desire, or ultimately create these sustained systems that we desire and that we choose to use. The thoughts that we're typically thinking on a daily basis, these habitual thoughts, these habitual frameworks of seeing the world, show up in our actions, and they show up in and they manifest themselves in ways that will either help us get closer to where we want to be, or it'll find a way to hold us back. And these are constantly things that we need to think about and evaluate and really understand and really get a hold on. Why are we thinking the thoughts that we're thinking consistently? Are these thoughts that we're thinking consistently our own? Where did these thoughts originate from? Did they come from our parents? Did they come from our ancestors? Do they come from our family, our friends, society, the media, or all of these things combined? Are these thoughts that I'm thinking on a consistent basis, are they stuck? Are they fixed? Or can they be changed? When we adapt a dangerous and perceptions of life, we also create their power to imprison us. These thoughts that we think on a daily basis, if they're continuous and they're destructive, eventually, we will meet our demise based on these thoughts that we think habitually. But no one is ever fixed. All thoughts that we think on a regular basis can be changed. They can be adapted. They can be replaced and replaced with things that will benefit you in the long run, if not in the short term. Sometimes these thoughts will jail us. Things like conventional wisdom, and they can have the power to imprison us in such a way that we are literally sleeping with our eyes wide open. We're walking around in a haze. We're sleepwalking, if you will, in a reality that has been created that may not necessarily be our own. Now, if you're living in a reality and you're experiencing things that you want to experience, you have a consistent level of joy, a level of inner peace, and you can honestly say that the things that you felt and the way that you feel on a consistent basis is that something that you actually enjoy, and it brings light, and it brings hope, and it brings passion, and it brings joy, and it brings determination, and it brings confidence to you on a consistent basis, then those thoughts are ideally deemed good. Those are things that are serving you and kind of compelling and pulling you toward a higher version, a higher purpose of yourself, if you will. But if it's something that's destructive, that's keeping you back, that's keeping you depressed, in state of angst, anxiety, frustration, sadness. These are the thoughts that are limiting, and these beliefs as well will also contribute to you, the limiting beliefs that are consistently coming up in your thoughts, that are always showing up, kind of like that devil on your shoulder or that gremlin that will constantly creep up and try to trip you into something that doesn't necessarily serve you. So here's a quick question. What are the thoughts that are you're thinking of on a consistent basis? If you have a journal, you can write down things that you're focused on. What are the thoughts that you think on a regular basis? What is something that you can think of on a regular basis that you have noticed that keeps coming up in your thoughts that are happening often? And how often do these thoughts come up? And what do you think about when you're thinking about things? What are your feelings toward the things that you're thinking about? What's the association that you're making between the things that you're thinking about? How do these things that you're thinking about on a regular basis, do they serve you? Do they give you more love? Do they make you considerate of others? Do they make you more aware to the beauty of nature and the reality and the softness of a touch, finding joy in a smile or a hug or a phone call or just a simple thank you? Is this something that you are finding consistently that's bringing more light, more love, and more joy into your life? Or the opposite? These are some things to note. As you note these things and as you note these thoughts and these feelings and get them out of your body and onto paper, you'll begin to have a little bit more context of the impact and the implications they could have, simply because you're taking out of your body, you're getting it in front of you. And by having it in front of you, you can look at it and not judge it, but just see it for what it really is rather than internalizing everything that's happening. Because we don't always see the things that are happening to us as we're experiencing them. We're usually, ideally, in that moment and we're experiencing it fully. So just taking some time just to kind of get it out of our body, get it out of our heads and out of our minds and on a paper, we can really look at it and kind of see it and say, oh, this is something that I've been thinking about consistently. Even if you decide to take an hour a day or a few minutes a day and just write down things that are coming to your mind on a regular basis and asking and figuring out, how do these things help me? How do these things serve me? How do these things really, you know, impact my life? I know sometimes when I have certain thoughts or when I have these perspectives that come up and these thoughts that are coming up and I sit down and actually take time to really understand them, I begin to find out more things about myself simply because I'm taking what's in my head, I'm getting it out on paper, and I'm looking at it subjectively. And I'm asking myself, is this thought serving me on a regular basis? Is it really serving me in the greater, bigger picture of who I ultimately want to become? And if it's not, what are some new ideas? Or what are some new thoughts? What are some new forms of psychology that I can adapt from other people that I could use in my daily practice, even if I'm coming up with a mantra or a incantation that I can say on a daily basis? What are some things that I can say that I can do that I know would actually serve, that would actually help me? What are some ideas? What are some things that I can do? Well, one thing that can be done is to, before you go to bed, you can ask yourself some evening power questions. The power of questions cannot be underestimated. I do know that we're always mentally asking and answering ourselves questions. What are the questions that I'm asking myself on a continuous basis? But if you get clear on the questions that you ask, you seek, you will find. And it's true. When you ask certain questions, your brain will start searching for an answer. In fact, it'll even make up answers just to make yourself feel successful. Now that we know that we're constantly asking and answering ourselves questions mentally, our brain is in that process of doing this. What are some questions that help guide our focus to something we can appreciate so we can feel like we're actually giving something to life and not always just trying to get something from it? Now, getting something from life is important, but you also want to have both give and take. Some evening power questions that I like to ask myself what has turned me on today? What is it that has lit me up? Who do I love and who loves me? What's something valuable that I've learned today? What did I give today? You can make up your own list of power questions, but these are just something to get you started. Even with these questions, you're able to hone in, and as you begin to routinely ask yourself these questions on a consistent basis, you actually begin to find and learn that these different things, your brain begins to find answers and begins to provide evidence for these. Say, for example, you ask, you know, what did I learn today? Well, your brain will start searching for an answer. Maybe at first, it won't give you answers initially. However, with time and with practice and with patience, your brain will actually start giving you evidence of things that you've learned. Or it might even start seeking things to learn throughout your day just so it can have an answer for you in the evening. The same thing with who do I love and who loves me, or what did I give today? I remember one time I was at Starbucks and I was in line and I was kind of just, you know, just waiting and waiting for, you know, waiting in line and, you know, wasn't thinking of it. And this woman in front of me, she was ordering her drink and I just said, "How's your day?" She goes, "It's good." I was like, "Okay, cool." She goes, "How's your day?" I was like, my day's good. My day's outstanding. Thank you." I said to her, "Hey, I have a question. What's something you can be proud of today?" And she thought about it for a second. She goes, "Well, I don't know." She goes, "What can you be proud of today?" I was like, "Well, I'm proud that I was able to take the time to be interested in other people and learn about their lives and about what they are interested in." She goes, "I like that." She goes, "You know what? I can be thankful for my children. They're doing good. One's going off to college." I said, "Oh, that's fantastic." That little act, that, and it seems so minute and it seems so minor and it seemed so simple, but that simple act of asking myself, "What did I learn today?" in the evenings, or asking these power questions in the evenings, what happens is that the questions begin to come up throughout your day. And you begin to look for experiences to provide that opportunity. So just go ahead and try these power questions and see how they work for you. Now, when we have a tendency to jail ourselves into conformity, we begin to think like everyone else is thinking. It's where the consciousness of the bigger picture, that bigger picture thinking, begins to fall into a much more of a personal and self-involved thinking. And it's no longer expanded at the level that it can be. You just get to a point where you're just literally just thinking about just a very small box. You're not necessarily, I wouldn't say thinking outside the box. You're trapped. It's not even to think outside the box. There's a lot of things that are outside the box. But a lot of people, what I've noticed, don't even know what's in the box itself. They've only scratched the surface of it. And that's still to a small degree. So before you even think outside the box, know what's in the box. Know everything that's in the box. And it turns out a lot of people don't even know what's in it. And they're simply trying to think outside of it because they want something fresh and something new and something exciting. So they feel good about that newness of something, but they never even go inside the other boxes that they're surrounded by. They just running around scratching the surface of every single other box. So thinking inside the box is very, very difficult because you have to go deep. Thinking on the surface is just wide, but thinking inside that box, you have to be able to open it up and go into the unknown of what's inside of it. With the right psychology, we can adapt new ways of thinking by continually conditioning our thoughts like a computer. If you imagine that your brain, that your mind is like a computer, you can download the software. If you imagine that your brain is a computer and your mind is the software, your brain just houses the information. It stores it. It doesn't debate whether it's right or wrong. It just takes it in. The mind is the software. That's the information that's being downloaded. And there's an abundant amount of information that's available for us to go ahead and use. So when we're talking about when you are using, when we're using our minds, it's, there's ways for us to go ahead and actually rewrite the software that's being used. You're not, no one's fixed. We don't have a fixed ways of thinking. Our brains are very, very elastic. Our brains are like putty. And when they're warmed up, we can actually mold and create new grooves into our brain, actually, by downloading the software into our minds. And once a mind has been stretched into new ways of thinking, it will never go back to the same way it had been before. Using and learning and growing and stretching the ways that we're currently thinking by adapting a new psychology, a new process of thinking about things, a new way of actually seeing the world through the lens of our eyes, through the lens of our imagination, that can cause us to gain new perspectives, to adapt new values, to take on new positions of power within ourselves. And all of this stuff can be adapted. All this stuff can be learned. No mind is ever fixed. No one is ever stuck in the way that they were to thinking about how things actually are. You can always change the way that you're actually thinking to produce new results in your experiences. If your mind is like a computer, you can install a program or update your operating system. The way from a functional habitual way of perceiving the world to deliberately creating or adapting new thought patterns which change our behavior. These changes in our behavior are all established from our thoughts. First comes the idea, the vision, the spark. Then from there comes the belief that it could happen. Then comes the action. This is a journey that affirms that if we change by the power of our thoughts, we can change the result manifestations we create in our lives. By changing these thoughts, by changing these affirmations, these thoughts that we're thinking on a consistent basis, we can ultimately change the way that we not only experience in the world, but the results that we're getting. All of these thoughts, all of these things that we're thinking on a regular basis, we can actually change. And as we begin to change our thoughts, we begin to literally perceive the world differently. Our paradigm begins to change. The way that we're interpreting everything that's going on around us begins to change simply because of the thoughts that we have adapted begin to shape the way that we're seeing the world around us. It really begins to placate on a larger scheme, on a larger wavelength, beyond the way that we've actually been seeing the world before, reacting to the world around you. Our senses usually have an impact on the way we interpret the world. We get an impression of the world through our five senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. But there's also another impression, a feeling. Not to be confused with touch, but an emotional response to the way that we interpret events. The events that we experience aren't actually the way that we are nearly as impacted as the idea or the imagination, but the way that it actually makes us feel. And that actually gets rooted much deeper than what we've experienced before. These thoughts, these things that are happening on a regular basis, they begin to shape our brain, they begin to shape our mind, and they really begin to really, really mold the way that we're actually seeing the things that are going on. Both new, both fresh. Life in itself is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey that should be experienced. And this journey affirms that if we can change the power of our thoughts, of the thoughts that we're thinking, we can literally change the results and the manifestations we experience in our lives. Most things in our lives are a result of a manifestation of what we have been thinking. And that thought leads to action. And it's that thought that leads to action that things begin to manifest themselves into our lives. When reacting to the world around you, our senses usually have an impact on the way that we interpret the world. We usually get our impression of the world through our five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. But there's also another sense of emotion. When decisions are typically made, they're not made for logical reasons, as most would like to think. They're actually made for emotional reasons. And these emotional reasons are then logically rationalized after the decision has been made. But the decision has been typically made on a subconscious basis. It's not something that we always make a decision of up front. It's something that actually happens in the backgrounds of our imagination, in the theater of our minds. And once that decision is made, then it becomes a conscious thought. And then from that point, action is taken to make that into a reality. When we interpret our past experiences, the experiences in relevance to the past, and then react by thinking a certain way. So we usually think of the experience that is happening in front of us in relevance to something that's happened in the past, because always seeing things fresh all the time takes a little bit more time, and we don't always want to invest that time. So we'll take that experience that's happening in front of us, and we'll make it into something that's, we'll take an experience that's happening in front of us, and we'll actually filter it through past experiences to immediately understand what's happening in the moment. All of this happens subconsciously. It's not all happening on a conscious level. Once we interpret experience in relevance to past experiences, we then react by thinking a certain way, feeling a specific emotion, or doing specific actions, and energetically get into a specific state, either a resourceful state or an unresourceful state. And all of this happens extremely fast. There are certain things that we do recognize when we encounter another human being, such as things that we notice that actually causes us to relate to past experiences in order to shortcut ourselves to understand if what we're experiencing is going to bring us pleasure or if it's going to bring us pain. We will do far more to avoid pain than we will ever do to gain pleasure. Would you fight to get $100, or would you fight even more to keep someone from taking $100 from you? Most people would actually fight more to keep from losing something than they ever would to gaining something. And it's not because they're lazy. It's because their goals and their visions and the outcomes that they wish to achieve aren't compelling enough. They aren't compelling enough to pull them forward to where they want to be. Now, if you have something that's strong enough to pull you forward, I'm not saying it's going to be effortless, but you'll be strong enough to make the decision and then act. And then every single time you make a new decision, what happens is that there are connections that are being made in your brain. Every single time you learn something new or make a new discovery or have a new breakthrough, there are connections that are being made in your brain. The more that you make that decision over and over again, what happens is that connection gets stronger. So it's kind of like a road it's like a highway. And if your mind's a city, it's a highway that's being built to a specific location, specific feeling, or specific experience, or specific actions even. It works the same way. When you're making the decision consistently, what's happening is this road is being paved and it's being made stronger and more refined. And if you don't use certain thoughts or certain actions habitually, what happens is the roads begin to slowly deteriorate and it becomes more difficult to get to and sometimes impossible to get to. You might need assistance, either like a therapist or a really strong emotional impact will sometimes allow you to kind of cut down any weeds that have grown over this road so you can at least have a pathway to get to and then eventually build a stronger highway. But when we're building these highways in our minds, when we're looking at these different roads and these different ideas and actions and experiences, when we're reprogramming and reconditioning our nervous system, a lot of these thoughts that are experiences that are happening, it takes time. It doesn't always happen instantly. So I'm pretty sure you've seen the movie Limitless. If you've seen the movie Limitless, it came out in like 2011, and the movie has Bradley Cooper, Abby Cornish, and Robert De Niro. So basically the movie is about this guy whose life isn't going so well. He's a writer. He's not a very big fan of the life that he's living. He's kind of disheveled looking. and he's just kind of at rope's end as far as his life's concerned. He's completely uninspired. His girlfriend ends up, you know, him and he's having relationship problems, and everything's just kind of just going downhill. And he ends up basically, he ends up finding about this pill called NTZ. And NTZ is a drug that basically, I'm pretty sure, have access to 10% of our brain. And we only use 10% of our brain, even though our brain consumes a massive amount of energy that we give our bodies to function. And he discovers NTZ, this drug that basically gives him 100% access to his brain. So the floodgates just open up. And when he's experiencing life from this perspective, all of his senses are heightened, and he has access to every single memory that he's ever encountered, ever. And everything he's ever seen, tasted, touched, that's stored in his subconscious, he has full access to. So it's like that he has access to every single thing in his mind ever. All right, cool. We get it. And what's interesting about that is that our brains can do that. Our brains, you can access certain memories. Maybe not all of them, but a good chunk of them can be accessed if the grooves have been consistently paved, access that memory. That's how the mind works. In fact, they've never been taught that at all about how their mind works. So by the time they're adults, a lot of the memories that they had when they were children are gone, or at least they're inaccessible, simply because those memories were never specifically reinforced. It can be reinforced through writing it down. It can be reinforced through writing a story about it, but finding some specific way to capture that memory. And the more that you see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, smell it, then the more that you will become, it will come vivid, and you can remember something like it was just yesterday. So if you haven't, it's definitely a good film. I'm not endorsing the movie at all, but it's just good. It's just a good film overall. If you're into alternate realities and, you know, seeing things from a new perspective. When creating a response different from reacting from the world around you, when you are around us, being influenced from the outside in. So you're reacting to things that are going on around you. Instead, what you're doing is you're creating something from the inside, image internally of how you wish to experience the world. And then you're taking that with you out into the world. There are some ideas around seeing the world as you wish to see. It's not about believing something when you see it. It's believing it first, then recognize it more, and then you'll see it more, and then you'll notice things that are happening. And so even sometimes when I'm doing social experiments and I'm going out, Sometimes we'll get frustrated, especially if I haven't conditioned myself and see to get the results that I want to get audience. But when I do shift my paradigm, I do change my psychology, and I do step out into the world, all of a sudden, it's like being in a 3D movie and you're the only person with 3D glasses on. You're all watching the same with everyone else who's there, but your experience of watching that movie, a slightly heightened perspective. And sometimes it's a majorly heightened perspective because there's little subtleties that you'll know, and there's a certain level of certainty that comes with that. So creating a response from the world around you, by getting to a peak creative state instead of reacting to the world, we condition ourselves mentally through repetition of thought and backwards stern action of the behavior that we wish to become. Conditioning ourselves through repetition of thought is a deliberate practice of basically selling ourselves onto the best parts of ourselves, or to the best parts of someone else that we wish to become.
we're always adapting. We're always looking at the world around us, and we're always looking for something to emulate, to model, to copy, to adapt to in order to either affirm an identity or create one. As we are affirming our identities or creating a new identity, we're always looking for sources. We're kind of, our brains are always looking for just little things that will kind of, that we can align with and that we can connect with, or that we can, that will enhance our lives in some way. These experiences or these things that we're running into, they're constantly available to us, but we can only see those things if we're actively looking for them. Unless we're very, very crystal clear on what it is that we're after, then we'll just take things as they, as we currently are, versus actively looking for something that we might not necessarily have become yet, but that we aspire to be. So being crystal clear on what you want to become is very, very important. So then you can get the tools and the resources and the psychology to adapt so that you can find clues to things in your daily experiences, in your day-to-day, that would bring us closer there and actually capitalize on the opportunity when it shows itself, which it shows itself much more often than you think. But because you're not receptive to it, because you're not tuned in to that part of your experience that you want to bring into it, you literally don't see it. You're literally blind to it, or your eyes will see it, but you don't necessarily focus on it. You don't notice it. Your eyes will just like gloss over it. So here's an experiment of how our psychology and how the psychology of our focus and how what we focus on can show up into our lives will be obtained and can be more realized. So we're going to go ahead and do an experiment. I want you to close your eyes. Go ahead. Close your eyes. I'm waiting. Okay. Your eyes are closed? Good. I'm watching you. So I'm going to name a color. And when I say open your eyes, I want you to look for every single thing in your environment, whether you're in the, except for if you're driving. If you're driving, then don't do this experiment. But last thing I want is a wreck. But you're going to close your eyes and you're going to look, name something of a specific color. You're going to look for every single thing in the room with that color. Are you ready? Okay. Open your eyes. Look for red. Look for red. Look for red. Look for red. Keep looking for red. Look around you for red. Look up for red. Look in front of you for red. Is there something red next to you? Is there someone body wearing red? Are there red objects? Look for every single one that's red. Everything that's red. Okay. Now close your eyes. Name as many objects as you can that are brown with your eyes closed. With your eyes closed, name as many objects that you can that are brown. Okay, now open your eyes. Now look for brown. Look for brown. Are you wearing brown? Is someone else in the room wearing brown? Are you sitting in a brown chair? Is there a brown box? Is there a brown door? Is there a brown desk? Is there a brown lamp? Is there a brown jacket? Look for brown. You notice more brown, don't you? Yeah, of course, because your attention was focused to look for that color. And the same thing works with whatever it is that you are consistently thinking. So if you're constantly thinking how things aren't going to work out, you're going to find an excuse for things either not to work out, or you actually sabotage things for them not to work out just so you can feel better about yourself. That's the way the mind works. That's the way your attention works when you are creating a response from the inside rather than the outside. The outside works the same way too. That's how advertisements work. They will keep showing you something and they'll track your emotions. They'll track your actions. If you take something and you put it in a cart when you're shopping online and then you leave the site, but and you've already volunteered to, you know, keep everything in your cart, you know, active by putting in your email address, they will email you and say, hey, we've noticed that you, your items in your cart, you know, you should come back to our site, come back and visit us and, you know, complete your purchase. It's really simple. It's really easy. It's only two clicks. Even if it's not, they'll just tell you it's two clicks. Moving on, the vocabulary, thoughts, and actions adapted from the sources of the ideal character we wish to develop can be gradually or instantly taken into account. So vocabulary is very, very important. By adapting the vocabulary of who you wish to become, that automatically, that helps for you to feel the way that you want to feel when you are adapting that new identity or that new persona or that new paradigm. So your vocabulary, the words that you use when you are in a specific emotional state, plays a huge part. In fact, certain words that people use subconsciously will tell you what they believe about certain things if you listen close enough. Or if you listen long enough, you'll begin to notice a pattern of what people are saying when they're in certain emotional states. So if they're happy, there's certain words they'll use consistently. Or if they are mad or upset, there are certain words, if any, that they will use consistently. It really depends on the individual and what words they're going to be using, but words play a huge part. The vocabulary that you adapt in a specific culture kind of even will help you identify yourself in a tribe. So if you are, let's say you're in a meeting with some high-powered CEOs or your seniors or, you know, people around you that may be coming from a different industry or whatnot, that just have that know more about little nuances within the conversation. If you listen, there are certain vocabulary words that they'll use to kind of affirm that they are in a specific quote unquote tribe. And if you adapt that same vocabulary, then they will welcome you into the tribe as one of their own if you began to use the lingo. The same thing works with people that you meet. If you use the same words that they use, they actually feel closer to you. And they feel closer to you because they feel like, hey, he's just like me. A friend. So when you use words, the same words as someone else, which is also called mirroring, that will help you bridge that gap and connect with someone much faster, a little bit faster than you would have had you not been using that vocabulary. So keep that in mind by also adapting the vocabulary and not just understanding the knowledge, but also reflecting and mirroring those around you that you wish to be connected with or build rapport with on some level. While making the changes to our conscious and subconscious, we reprogram our subconscious mind that is also rooted in our nervous system. Making changes to our conscious and subconscious, we do reprogram our subconscious mind, and that our subconscious mind isn't just in our brains, it's not just in our heads. Our nervous system are the nerves in our body that are kind of the roots, if you will, that are going across our entire body. That is also connected to the brain. So when the brain adapts certain emotions, it literally puts them in the nervous system as well. So it can respond quickly according to what needs to be taken at that point in time. So when you feel fear or angst or excitement, it's not just in our heads that it's happening. It's also happening in our bodies. And there's certain things that we do with our bodies when we have certain emotional states that we have learned to kind of help anchor that and to reinforce it. So because we've anchored these certain thoughts, these certain feelings in our bodies, so fear isn't a phobia and fears aren't just mental. They're also physical. There's a visceral physical reaction that we respond to. And it's usually pretty much the same reaction, the same pattern of reaction that happens that we do consistently when we are feeling a certain way. So even are certain ways that you can do to reprogram your mind, not just by consuming content, but if you combine that with changing the way you use your body in a unique, specific way, you're doubling it because you are actually taking advantage of the nervous system as well. That's also included in the emotional response or the physical response in response to the thoughts that's happening, that's going through your head. A really great way to shift new responses is in fact to adapt new thoughts, do something with it, and do something physical, a unique physical movement. And you do that over and over and over again to create new grooves in the mind and in your brain, and also the new habits that you're creating physically. From this perspective, we imagine, feel, and then act from that the world around us will respond to us in kind. Once that's adapted, once that new belief system has been adapted, once that new psychology has been adapted, the world will respond to that. It will treat you as if you are already there. So if you are getting, if you're not getting the response that you want from the world, it's not the world's fault and it's our fault. If you're not getting the response that you want from the world around you, the great news is that it's our own fault. It has nothing to do with the world around us. It has to do with the way that we are projecting ourselves into the world. And because it's the way that we're doing it, we actually have control over it. The world isn't in control of it. We are. And that's great news because that means that we also have the power to change it. We can shift it on a moment's notice. And some people, I know a lot of people may think, well, or may ask, or you might be asking the question, well, won't they remember what I did in the past? Some they will for a short while, but usually it doesn't take very long for people to forget because people are worried about their own issues that they have going on in their lives to keep track of what somebody else is doing wrong. Most people aren't necessarily going to notch down every single thing that you've ever done in your entire life and then hold that against you. That's just nobody will. So that's just a reality. People are so worried about what's going on in their own lives, they're not going to worry about keeping track of what you're doing in somebody else's. So that's not even relevant. That's not even a factor to what we are experiencing. But it's like wanting something versus must having something. Have you ever noticed when you want something, like let's say you want more money, for example, I'll just use that because it's just kind of, you know, something that happens a lot. You want more money. You're like, okay, I want more money. And it seems that, you know, things kind of move. They'll move. You'll find ways to make more money. And it just usually, you know, slowly happens. You know, patience is key and you just work at it. But if a scenario happens that you have to have the money, like it's a must, like there's no debating around it, and you zero in, you get tunnel vision on, okay, I have to get this cash. Have you ever noticed that things start to happen, just kind of start pulling together? All of a sudden that you might have, you know, 5 or 6 new prospects call you up and say, hey, I actually need your services. Or you might get a phone call from a friend saying, hey, I need your help with, you know, with moving or something like that, and I'll pay you. You ever notice that happens? Well, that's the difference between, you know, that's usually how it works when we recognize anything that would bring us closer. And the world and the universal energy actually in direct proportion to our internal and external level of relationship to it. We recognize anything that would bring us closer to the world or the universal energy begins to conspire in direct proportion to our internal level of relationship to it. Or planting a seed, nurturing it to grow from the ground, giving it sunlight, soil, and water. Paradigms are simply habitual ways of thinking. These habitual thoughts are either asking or answering questions based on the mental state we are in, as well as our level of understanding of the moment of reality at this time. Paradigms are simply habitual ways of thinking based on the mental state we are in, as well as a level of understanding of the moment of reality at this time. So the questions that are being asked are going to be in direct proportion to your mental understanding of reality or your mental acceptance of reality of that time. So by seeing something, there are certain questions that you will ask, that your mind will ask in that moment. And as your mind begins to ask questions at that moment, it begins to open up new ways of actually seeing that specific experience and asking, is this experience on some level, is it related? Is there some way, new way of seeing it? Is there ways that I can apply it into my life? Are there mysteries about it that are unknown to me? And what are these mysteries? So these mysteries, these questions that are being asked, there's a plethora, there's an infinite amount of questions that your mind can ask. So these questions that are asked or that are being used to really kind of make sense and make a little more understanding of the world around us, and finding ways to use that to make sense of the world or bring light into the darkness of our unknowingness, of our own ignorance. So the light that gets brought in, we began to see things in such a unique way that the questions that we begin to ask become bolder. They become stronger. They become more refined. They become something in our reality that can really enhance the way that we see the world, as well as the way that we share the world with others. So as we begin to see the world, as we begin to morph it and change it, as we begin to adapt our new psychology, as we begin to adapt our psychology into something that could definitely bring us more value or bring others more value, we can actually transcend from where we are. We can transcend from where we are into something new and really broaden the perspective of the ranges of our own imagination and completely eradicate the levels of insecurity and the cause of our own ignorance through pure curiosity. That thought of pure curiosity is what will make us bolder, stronger, more inquisitive, more enlightened, and much more involved and connected to the things around us that we're experiencing on our daily basis. Simply because the thoughts and the things that we're experiencing on our daily basis is much larger, it's much stronger than we can really identify in our heads alone. It's only through the experience of going out and actually seeing the world and taking it on by the horns and really adapting to it and dancing with the waxing and waning of life that we can actually begin to understand the fabrics of our own existence. And it's through that weaving of our own experience that we begin to build something, a canvas, if you will, that we can then use to blanket others who have less of an understanding. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Share and like. You can also download and listen to the podcast on Anchor, Pocket Cast, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Thank you for tuning into the show, and I really appreciate you guys tuning in and listening in. Don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, share the content, and I will speak to you guys again soon in the next episode of this series. Once again, this is Kendall Mason signing off, and I hope you guys have a great day. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.